Welcome to the newest episode of Better in 3D. I'm your host, Matthew James Renier, and I'm here with two lovely, lovely people. I'm here with a good friend of the show. First of all, Dr. Joseph Weber.
Hello.
Bonjour.
What?
I was going to talk a little louder thing.
I'm sorry.
There's a lot of background
really
noise
casual,
here. Yeah.
All right. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
I'm actually the Verizon guy.
You are the Verizon guy. And our beloved guest, Amanda, and I always screw up your last name.
Zivich,
right?
Yes.
I want to always call it Zivich.
That's a very popular way of doing it. So I think that's like the traditional Croatian pronunciation. Last name. So like you're actually nailing it, but some ancestor in our past just went
so
for
you're
the
nailing
English
it.
Version.
I wasn't, because I always thought of you as Zivich.
And the thing is, like, you've never corrected me, but like Heather and Justin have corrected me. Like you're saying, like, it's important. I'm like, I don't know in my brain what the right way is. Like, I know I've said it wrong before.
Yeah.
So it's like, you ever have a word you type on your phone or anything and you always spell it wrong?
Yes.
You know, like, for me, it's always specially. I spell it wrong every now, like, hey, you spell it wrong, you should fix it. I still spell it wrong. I go overcorrected or something.
Mine's restaurant. I always mess up where the U goes. I can never do it.
There we go. I put like one extra I in specially and I don't know why. I don't know why I do that. Like, so if you haven't listened to us before, we are the Midwest premier drinking movie podcast, because a bunch of people have some average IQs and some above average livers. And we're here live at Lazy Dog Brew House and Tavern. I mean, like, they make their own beer, right? Like, that's...
Yeah, probably.
They do. Like, I'm drinking their Huckleberry Haze, which is their house beer. But I feel like it's a chain. There's like multiple Lazy Dogs, right?
Yes, there's one in Naperville, for sure.
Okay. So. I think it's like nationwide. I don't think this is an Illinois thing. I think it's... I know for a fact there's one in Florida.
Okay.
Because I had a friend who went to Florida and like took a picture like, I know Lazy Dog.
We should do a road trip someday.
Him all?
Yeah.
Like some people try to hit all the minor league baseball, see if we hit every Lazy Dog?
Yes.
Cool. Love it. So here at Lazy Dog, having some drinks.
We can compare the goat cheese in each Lazy Dog.
And we always ask whatever he's drinking. So I said I was drinking a Huckleberry Haze, but you are drinking...
Guinness.
Which is your go-to.
It's my go-to. I love it. Yeah.
I'm trying to think if I see you drink a non-Guinness beer. Like, maybe...
I will.
Like,
I just
maybe
don't...
Maybe at like the Ren Fair maybe or something like that. Like, maybe.
Yeah, I will occasionally. But I feel like I'm more apt to go for wine if it's not Guinness. I just feel like Guinness is my thing.
Are you guys okay for Nashville over here?
Oh, yeah. We're doing great here.
Let me know if you need any more food or anything.
Not a problem. Never home. That was our waiter asking us. If you've listened to this podcast before, we've done this many times where people interrupt, so it's not a big deal. But, the Guinness, I mean, I like that you stay true to that. Like, because, like, I'll be honest, for the first...
It's a healthy beer. The Irish swear by it. They say it's healthier than milk.
You know what's their number one company? Like profit-wise?
No way.
I just saw a video on TikTok where the guy was like, hey, you know any of the 10 biggest companies in Ireland? Jameson's number is number 10.
I never would have guessed that.
It's like, they do $2.3 billion a year or something like that. Like,
my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
So if it's healthier than milk, do you like pour Guinness on your cereal?
For record,
Fruit Loops and Guinness?
No. FYI, I have done that.
Oh, wow.
In college, we put Guinness and Cocoa Puffs together, and it was awesome.
Oh,
that doesn't sound like a bad combination. The Fruit Loops, I don't know. You'd have to sell me.
So we were like the house in college that would like forget to buy food for a week, and like we have weird like things. Like one day, me and my roommate, Pat Hampton, were like, what are we at? We were strung over. Too hard to even get to like the college food hall.
Yeah.
We had Cocoa Puffs and some Toast Crunch and ramen noodles. That was all we had in the house. And we were like, okay, let's have some cereal. And we realized we drank all the milk. But we had Guinness, so we did that. And a side note, we also accidentally went to Costco. And they were selling like giant mega cases of fortune cookies.
Okay.
So like it was like I think it was like 10,000 fortune cookies or something for like, I don't know, like $100. It was an insane, like whatever it was. And so we had that in our house for a long time, and like, it takes a long time to get that many fortune cookies.
Oh my God.
So there was a day where we were also had hardly any food, but we had milk in the house, but nothing else. So we broke up the fortune cookies and
made your own cereal.
Tastes just like corn puffs, guys. Just like corn pops. It tastes delicious.
Oh my God.
You have to let it sit a minute so it soaks it up. It's pretty hard.
I had the weirdest fortune cookie.
Okay.
So it was like, we did sushi on Tuesday, and I opened up the fortune cookie, and on one side is the fortune, and on the other side is like, tell it to the therapist. Is this a message you want to put in your fortune cookie? I mean, I consider myself, you know, psychologically stable, but what if you get some guy, a person who's just not feeling very comfortable with life? Maybe they would go to the therapist.
Yeah, maybe that's the perfect thing.
I got a fortune cookie the other day that had a colored ad on the back of it.
Oh.
It was for Dove body wash.
No, shame
for
on Dove.
But the same thing is like, one, who would think it would advertise in fortune cookies? But I'm not glad you. It was the most I ever thought about Dove in a long time. I was like, what the hell?
I'm
like,
kind of angry it works, though.
I was thinking about it.
So you've heard of quishing, right?
Is instead of what?
Okay, so QR codes that I steal your identity.
Sure.
It's called quishing.
I never heard of this.
Like phishing, but quishing.
Okay.
I may be pronouncing it wrong. So anyways, what if that fortune was that? It's an identity that leads you to websites. You're filling your information, thinking you're gonna get, I don't know.
Like, free Dove?
Yeah, like free Dove, you know? And all of a sudden you're
hey, you work at Walgreens.
You're getting a computer.
You know how highly that was stolen. People steal Dove body wash like it's gold. But we digress. We're here to talk about movies. So we just me and our friend Joe drove down to Illinois to see our great friend Amanda to go see Dune Part 2. Because you guys remember, because we did this about 2 years ago when we saw Dune Part 1, and we did a recording in the exact same bar, and we put it out there. Because we went down to the Hawthorne Mall, right?
Yep.
We went to the AMC. Our good friend Amanda bought us the Dune popcorn bucket, so everyone, don't worry, we got them, right?
Yeah, we did.
Like, the thing that
they're all joking about.
I didn't realize it was going to be a metal bucket either.
I know, that's going to last.
Oh.
I'm definitely using it at home.
Like, I would be disappointed if you guys don't bring them to the next D&D session.
Okay.
I feel like that's where you should be, like, rolling your dice to do. Like, through that and then opening it up, like, yep, that's where the...
Yes,
When you start rolling just nat 20s left and right, you know why. It's the sandworm. Which I can never pronounce the sandworm's name. It's the...
Shai-Halud.
Shai-Halud.
Shai-Halud. Oh, wow.
Halud.
Okay. Yeah. I love Dune, but even when I read it, I was like, well, I don't know these names. I just cannot figure it.
They should come out with a pronunciation.
Which is funny, because they have all these, like, you know, Dune words, but it's like Paul and Jessica and Duncan, Idaho. Like,
yes. Midwest, yeah.
And the other guys are like some weird name I can never think about. Like,
and then you got like, you know, Muad'Dib, Kwisatz Haderach, and all that.
That's the one.
The old lingo, yes.
Yes.
So this was Villanueva. Yeah, it's like that.
Yeah.
Is that Villanueva? It's
New
Wave?
House
yeah.
or something.
Yeah, yeah.
New Villa.
So, yeah, but Denny, who's a master director, went to Arrival, did the Blade Runner 2049, did the first Dune. He knows sci-fi, he knows how to direct. This is a sequel to the first one, and I think we're all on record that we liked the first one.
Yes.
So while getting too deep in like the plots on that, what was your general overall like first impressions of them when you walked to the theater? I know what we said to each other, but tell the people what you thought.
Yeah, I was blown away. I was worried about having my expectations set too high. Because I loved the first one so much. And there's so much that happens in the second. And I was just nervous. I thought there's no way they're going to be able to keep that level that they had in the first movie. I was worried about pacing. I was worried about so many things. And they nailed it. I thought it was incredible.
I 100% agree. Joe,
I came out like, wow. I was actually like kind of speechless when it ended.
I know.
I just didn't know what to say.
So the movie ends. You turn around and hey, you see this, you see that. You were just kind of quiet for a little bit.
Yeah, I was just like soaking it all in, you know.
Yeah, no, I'm 100% with you on like I was worried about expectations, especially because like everyone this week was like, it's better than the first, it's one of the best movies of the year. There's a couple like critics who I follow who I like who are saying like it's one of the best movies of 10 years. One guy said it was like his favorite sci-fi movie of all time. I'm like, those are some big.
Yeah.
But I mean, like if someone told me tomorrow, hey, my favorite sci-fi movie of all time is Dune 2, I would have yelled. I'm like, yeah. I mean, I personally have other movies in the list, but like. And I hate putting such a new movie on the list, but like, it was excellent.
Yes.
I think what my big worry was...
So does the top Flash Gordon on your list? Because I know that's one of your favorites.
You keep pushing that Flash Gordon agenda. I do love the soundtrack.
I
work in our D&D sessions every once in a while. You'll get the Flash Gordon. But I wish they would do another Flash Gordon movie. Like that feels ripe for a reboot.
Like a serious Flash
Gordon?
Yes,
yeah, a serious Flash Gordon,
I've never seen it. Is that sacrilege?
Because it's not a good movie.
Okay.
It's just campy.
It's campy as hell. It's like watching like the Batman 1966 kind of cartoon.
I love that kind of
But it does have Max von Sydow. Or is it Sydow?
Sydow.
Sydow. Max von Sydow, and it does have Timothy Dalton in it.
Yeah. And it's got, the whole soundtrack is written by Queen.
Oh.
Yeah, like it's like, yes. they score the whole film. They tried, the Sci-Fi Channel tried doing a Dune TV show that was gritty, and I watched it.
The Dune Flash TV show was good.
Yes, but they did a Flash Gordon one, and I was so into it, and it was like...
Yeah, this one, it's like all of a sudden she's just like, you must become this figure, I'm going to push you in that direction.
Well, because it was mostly because she took the water life, and then she saw the future, saw the possibilities. Yeah.
Because
I think she realized there's only...
Like Doctor Strange, you know.
It was also like the one way to keep her and her other child, also played by Anna Taylor-Joy, which we were shocked.
Mind blown.
For like 30 seconds.
But like,
she never escapes the womb.
Well, yeah, because she's not born
she's
yet.
Still
but, like,
womb.
Yeah, yeah. But like, they have that scene.
Like
where
it's a dream sequence.
He can see the future. Mm-hmm. You know, like, he can see the past, see the future. Such a good fucking movie. So many good parts.
Agree. I agree with you, too. I do think, I feel like her character for me is defined by, she's still ruthless, but she just has different priorities.
Yes.
So her priorities are her son, it would have been her husband, her daughter. She will do whatever she needs to do and take down whoever she needs to in order to keep them safe.
Yeah. And oh my god, that ending.
Yeah.
The final attack on Eric Keane.
No
other version of Dune has ever like matched this in like sheer spectacle. My mouth was open.
It was one of the best fight scenes we've had in a while. Because it had a little bit of everything. It has that scene where they're running at each other, like on the infantry level. We see the explosions. We see the one-on-one battle. The giant worms. Yeah, the giant worms. It basically is that end of Return of the Jedi.
And the soundtrack used to like full effectiveness. So nice.
So good. Yeah. When he walks in, like I didn't know he was gonna kill the Baron, but he just like hello grandfather stabs her right in the neck.
Yes.
Oh, that was so good.
It's so good. It's funny because I feel like sometimes in big epic battle scenes, my attention almost wanders because there's so much going on. Yeah. I can't process it. And in this movie, I never felt that way once. They did such a good job about focusing the attention, showing you what's happening.
Yeah.
You felt like you were part of it. But yeah.
And another thing, when I see movies, I usually like take a little time to like just chat with the people around me about what's going on. And I almost felt like, I was quiet throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
I think I made one comment to you. But I was like quiet throughout the whole thing just because like you're just like sucked into it.
Yes.
And you just didn't want to disturb the immersion.
Well, it's what, 2 hours and 48 minutes. And it didn't feel that long at all.
No.
Felt like 2 hours.
Yeah.
We all said we were leaving. Like, I was a little weird. We weren't get that scene because like, oh my God, are we running out of time?
Yes.
Because like, just like the first Dune, I love the way it takes its time. Goes through its pacing. Like, I don't want it to be slow. You know, but like, I don't want you to rush it just to get to the cool shit at the end, you know? Like, you know?
And they ended it appropriately as far as like for book purists. Because,
yeah,
he does wind up marrying the princess Irulan, I think is how it's pronounced. I don't know.
She was fantastic too.
Yeah, Florence Pugh was always great.
Yeah.
He basically makes Chani his concubine. Now in this, they don't really show that she's his concubine. She's like,
it ends with her leaving him.
Yeah.
Which is like, I was like, a bold choice.
Yeah.
Yeah,
man.
Well, because like his mother was a concubine too. Like she never married the Duke for like, and she even quotes us, hey, you gotta save your hand for what's really important, you know?
Yeah.
Because I remember in the books, the mother talks her into like dealing with it, you know? Because like,
she does.
So
well, in the books, Leto always says, "I should have married you." But I wanted to.
Well, he had the option.
He also had some ambition, I think. To
be there was always like, be honest, there was always a chance he might become emperor. Like he needed like have that ability. Like if you're a great leader,
like,
you have to have the ability to like marry. This is all like royalty style stuff. They had to give that away.
But when he realizes that, this goes back to the first one, of course. But when he realizes that. Everything is probably not going to work out in his favor, and it's probably going to lead to his death. That's when he becomes remorseful and says, I should have married you. I screwed up, honey. I'm sorry.
Well, also, in the books, the Benedict Jesuits don't usually marry either, though. Like, they also, like, never usually marry.
Yeah, I think she was planted there, though. So
well, they have children, they have offspring, but they never, ever usually marry. Like, and it sounds like she wanted it. Like, he could have had that. Like, also, when Paul took the Water of Life, and he ended up talking to his sister, I thought we were going to see Pedro Pascal. I thought they were going to have a scene. I like, he's going down that beach, and he's going to turn around, and it's going to be Oscar Isaac. He was going to talk to his father. I thought that, because he can see the future and the past.
Oh.
I thought for sure we were going to Oscar Isaac in that movie.
That
would have
been so good too.
That's why I was more shocked when it was a sister. Oh, shit, it's a sister.
Yeah.
I thought for sure we were going to see it of him, like, because he has it, before the battle, at some point, he tells us that he found his way with the ring, and like, I was like, oh, we're going to get that scene of him talking. It's going to be like Han Solo and talking to Ben. I thought we were going to get that. I was like, oh, okay. But so I'm glad it didn't, because it kept me on. I was like, oh, we're going to get that scene. I was ready for Oscar Isaac to be there.
I didn't even think about that. That would have been great. But
yeah.
I do love the surprise of...
Yeah. His sister is one of my favorite characters in the later books. Like she's so weird and like, whatever, you know.
She definitely does not Well, that would be telling.
Yeah,
unless
yeah, yeah.
you want to give me a She does not turn out to be a very good character.
No, but I find her just so interesting. Like, it's such a weird character, you know? Because, yeah, she was going to be crazy. She was conscious, talk to your mother, fully aware of past and future in the womb. Like, that's not a normal thing. That's a rough.
I thought it was going to be an Oompa Loompa that he talks to. Oh, the wrong movie. So he grants back.
You like Wonka? I didn't see it.
Wonka?
Yeah.
I thought it was great. You know what the funny thing was is I wasn't expecting Wonka to be a musical, even though like Willy Wonka the Chocolate Factory was
a musical
yeah. You know, and then you start singing, I'm like, oh, this is really good. I thought it was good.
Yeah, you're not the first one to tell me, like, multiple times, I didn't realize this would be a musical. Like, why would you not? So here's the thing. I've actually never seen the Johnny Depp ones.
It's not good.
Is it a musical?
Johnny Depp's musical is, like, speaking. I mean, if you've seen Sweeney Todd, he's actually kind of talking.
I'm trying to remember. Was there music in it? I've seen it twice. I don't think there is.
And it's got,
I've seen the Alice in Wonderland one he does, Burton, you know, and that's not a musical, but like I never saw the Wonka movie.
Johnny Depp likes to be quirky, and actually Willy Wonka is kind of a quirky character.
Yeah, I'm not angry at that, but like I'm saying, like, so a bunch of people saw that for, like, it's a whole generation who matched their Willy Wonka, and if that wasn't a musical, then I get why people were so, like, there was a lot of people like, that's a musical? Like,
Timothée Chalamet made him likable. I mean, well, of course, Gene Wilder was likable, too. Although there was the freak-out moment in the...
That movie was perfect. The first Willy Wonka was perfect. And I feel like that was my worry about seeing the new one. I'm like, I just don't know why you would...
Well, it's a prequel. So it's not... Yeah, it's before he creates the chocolate factory.
Yeah.
But no, I just thought it was really... It was just a really fun movie. Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
I'll probably check it out if it's
good. See, and I wasn't expecting him to be able to sing. Sing good, and he sings good.
Well, the thing is, like someone was saying, it's weird that there was like three musicals out at the same time that people didn't realize were musicals. The Color Purple movie that came out.
I didn't realize that was.
It's a musical. Okay. And so is the Mean Girls movie, which I knew because like it was based on the musical.
Yeah.
And so is Wonka. They're all at the same time, all at the same time, and like they're all these musicals like that are not like traditional musicals.
Good for them because I feel like, I don't know, I love musicals and I feel like we don't do enough of them anymore. It feels like that's kind of gone out.
I feel like it comes back around every once. I feel like every year we get like two or three.
Yeah.
Because like just, I feel like a couple years ago there was a few musicals all at the same time. Because I really like the West Side Story reboot. I thought that was...
Okay, that's one I need to watch.
Phenomenal. I mean, my top
10 was... I thought it was good, too.
Yeah, I was shocked. I went and saw it with friends. I saw the Molly. And I was like, I was not expecting... We both walked out like, oh my God, this is so good. She was ready to hate it. They love West Side Story. They think reboots are bad. And we both walked like, that was phenomenal. And the thing is, I had never seen the original.
Yeah, the original is really good too. So
I own the original.
So I have a weird thing with musicals. Certain musicals I like, certain I don't. I feel like it's like there's a certain type of musical that was very popular, like that I just don't like.
Yeah.
If I'm gonna see a musical, I want to have like a sense of fantasticalness to it, like that.
Yeah.
How about this? I hate Grease. Like, in its kind of Grease-esque.
I like Grease.
But I like
Let's get him.
Little Shop of Horrors and Rocky Horror Picture Show
yes.
and like things like that I like.
Yeah.
Because the problem for me was when it's like everyday life and then they start singing, dancing, it breaks my reality. But if it's like a weird world that I can like, oh, it's sci-fi, then I could singing, dancing's fine.
Okay.
You know, that's usually how it works. But I love like Les Mis, but they never stop singing though.
Yes.
I can buy into a world that just sings the whole time.
It's almost operatic. But I like musicals that are kind of like darker in tone, not the very happy, lilty ones.
Yeah, so the one that you're gonna hate it. So like, other than like Little Shop of Horrors, which I loved as a kid, I hate musicals. And when I got me start watching other ones, was Sweeney Todd. I saw Sweeney Todd when I was, I don't know, like teenager, 20 or something like that, I can't remember what it was. And I was like, oh, okay. Because I always like seeing musicals. Like, we'll be honest, because we didn't have time. I was playing for 4 hours. We only had 3 hours and 15 minutes in the battle. So if we had 45 more minutes, we would be fine. But we just ran out of time.
Okay.
Either way, nerd stuff. Any last thoughts about Dune?
Yes. We didn't talk about one of my favorite scenes yet, which is where he rode that giant grandfather worm.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I felt like I was in the movie. I like the way they did the sand, and he couldn't see anything, and struggling to stay on top of it.
That was where I got goosebumps first.
Oh, my gosh.
When the story, like, he... rides up and goes right through that last dune and like knocks it out.
Yes.
Like our scene that's obviously all CG, it doesn't feel CG.
No, it does
feels not. Real. I mentioned that earlier too. Like there's Ozla's CG effects. It feels practical. Everything feels practical in this movie. And you, obviously not because there's no giant sand worms. But, yeah, great scene. Joni, any scenes you like? You thought we wanted to talk about that we missed? And
no, I think we've covered all of them. Yeah, the differences and then the epicness of the ending.
I love the naming ceremony. They finally gave him his name more deep. That whole
I like that.
I like the way they did that. I mean, in some of the other versions, they just basically say like, okay, now pick your name. And just picks the name, and it's done. This was more like a camaraderie, like the camaraderie that we would have.
It's like soldiers.
When I was
like,
in the service.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I love that about it.
Like, yeah, I thought that was done extremely well, and that it's good you brought that up because that was something that in the back of my head.
I thought that scene was great. I was like, oh, this is such a good scene.
Yeah.
Because like the other version is almost like, all right, like it's like a naming right, like, oh, I take this name, and like, no,
it's
like,
yeah, like because I remember Kyle MacLachlan's like, oh, what do you call the hand on the second moon? He's like, we call that Muad'Dib, and I was like, could I be known as Muad'Dib? He's like, yes, you are Paul Muad'Dib, and he's like, okay, that's good. Well, I think Kyle MacLachlan's awesome. So, but yeah, that scene I felt was done much better in this because it was done as more of a camaraderie. And you are now our brother type thing.
Well, actually, we told earlier, it made his transition from, like, this guy, like, that they would follow him. Like, it felt very band of brothers. They were warriors. Like, they respected that he was fighting. I like that so much. And the fact he kept turning down the mantle, like, I don't want to rule. I don't want this. I like so much. And also, like, when the what's-his-face and Josh Brolin shows back up, he's like, what, you raise an army, you won't do it? Like, he's furious.
Yes.
He's like, I kind of forgot he was going to be in the movie at the end because it just took so long for him to show up. I was like, oh shit, I forgot, yeah, he's in this movie too.
I also like the fact that they gave those characters so much more opportunity in this.
Oh yeah.
Johnny is used much more effectively. I feel the same with Gurney Halleck, Josh Brolin's character.
Yeah.
I felt that those were all like used, fleshed out much more in this than in other ones.
And they did the Dave Bautista character, much better because I feel like in all other versions, like he comes and goes, he's just a plot point, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
he's almost a grotesque character in the David Lynch version.
David Lynch, yeah.
He's very David Lynch. I just remember him ripping out a tongue from a cow and eating it raw. And then,
as you do,
the Baron squeezes his mouth like when he's like, give me spice. He's spitting out all this, like, tongue.
Yeah.
You know, he's a very grotesque character. In this, he's much more crazy. But still just as ineffective.
A purely aesthetic question. How do you feel about this version of the eyes? These blue eyes they have. Like, obviously in Lynch's, it's very, like, it's that kind
it's
of...
It's almost, little... it's overly blue in the Lynch version.
Yeah, and then, like, the... And the miniseries has the blue, but it's really blue. It's, like, you can still see it, but, like, this one, it's different. I would say the first one, I was a little disappointed in their version of blue. It really grew on me this one time around. Like, okay,
no, I like it.
Because, like, makes sense. I saw the Lynch version, the Lynch version. I was like, oh, it needs to be like blue. It needs to be like, you know, but no, this is like, I like it, you know?
And I also like that they got more into the division between the areas of the Fremen.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, one was very religious, the other was much more skeptical and thought he was like a fake. He was a poser.
Yeah, well, yeah. Like, they're not, yeah. Also, I love that, like, you didn't notice his accents.
Accent.
That was great.
That was so good.
Oh, because, like, he's the only one talking like that, you know, like, the whole time.
Yeah.
I don't know if Harvey Bardem can do a non-Harvey Bardem accent. I don't think he has the ability to like, give like an English short American accent. I don't think he has it in him.
Which one?
Harvey Bardem. I don't think he has the ability to not. Oh, yeah. You know what? He did it in an old country for old men. Like, he has that weird.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't want to. I guess you call that American. I don't know what that accent is. It's fucking crazy, whatever it is.
I got to revisit Old Country for old men. That's a great movie.
It's a real movie that's grown on me. So I saw that movie.
Where they're talking about, like, is it a quarter or a dime? And he's like, it took this dime, like, all this way, time to get here.
And, I saw that movie the same day as There Will Be Blood at the movie theater. And, like, two other movies. I saw four in a day. And I like both of those movies. I remember, like, giving, like, Old Country Man, like, only a B. And then, like, There Will Be Blood, like, a B minus. And then, like a month later, watching them both again. And, like, oh, these were great. What was I thinking? Like, it was just, like, I saw four. Like, I was in a movie theater hopping that day. I saw four movies. Like, ah, okay. And then like a month later, like, oh, these are fucking great. I was way too harsh on these movies. Because they were Oscar movies and everyone was hyping them up.
Yeah.
And I was like,
it's hard to live up to the expectations.
Yeah, and then I watched, especially There We Blood, I don't know what I was thinking. Like, I was like, B minus, this is an A plus. I've seen that movie like 20 times since then. It's fucking great. I don't know why it was so mean that I was
What's
so hard
his name, the guy from
Paul Dano? Or
the method actor.
From Lincoln.
From
and,
Last of the Mohicans.
Last of the Mohicans.
What's his name? Why can't I think of it? He's hating us right now.
Yeah.
If that guy, like, listens to his podcast, he's going to be like, you guys can't remember my name?
Like, one of the greatest living actors of all time. Yeah. I mean.
Anyways, he does a very good job in the country film.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
There it is.
Good boy.
Now he doesn't hate us anymore.
There we go.
I haven't seen that, but my friends and I have a movie club, and that's one of the ones that's coming up in a couple weeks. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's great. And I love Paul Dano. Everything he does, I was like, I'm so happy.
He was great in The Batman.
The Riddler, he was great in it.
Yeah.
Is he going to be in The Batman Part 2?
No.
Which is, yeah, I guess the legal title of the next Batman movie is going to be The Batman Part 2. Because they're just continuing on.
Yeah.
And of course, you know the Joker's going to be in it.
No, he's not going to be in it.
He's not?
No, they're saying, like, there's only, like, four villains. It looks like it's probably going to be Hush, Clayface, and two other ones. I forget they're going to be.
I hate when they pack that money in. I feel like there's such good stories. Like,
well,
I'd rather go deeper with
Well, so that's
York.
The whole thing. So, like, he took a lot of the basis of these first two movies off the long Halloween. And that was, like, the whole purpose. Like, and it kind of happens last movie because we had the Riddler. But we were playing, like, because they set up perfectly to be Hush, the next villain. But I wanted there to be metahumans because, like, and they hardly ever do metahumans in the Batman movies, which always pisses me off. Because I want to make it realistic. But that was the whole point of the long Halloween. It's like, there's, like, you know, it's Gotham, it's super corrupt. There's all these gang wars, and what is tearing it apart is not Batman or the gangs. It's like there's an influx of all these metahuman shows. Solomon Grundy shows up, Clayface shows up. Like these are these wild cards that are like blowing apart everything.
Yeah.
And Batman is like literally like fighting villain after villain after villain after villain, and people are dying left and right, and it's about his like exhaustion into this
okay.
thing. Yeah.
That's fair.
So it might work. I don't know. I he keeps saying he wants to do because like the Batgirl movie was supposed to be like canon to that stuff, you know, and Firefly was supposed to be in that, and so and since they canned that one, I don't know if they're gonna have that, you know?
For the money, Paramount.
Yeah.
For the money.
He also,
it was Paramount, right?
No, it was WB.
Huh?
WB.
Oh, Warner Brothers, yeah.
He also canned that Wile E. Coyote movie that was supposed to come out. Like,
what?
Like, so they made a Wile E. Coyote movie that was supposed to be great, and it was like Bugs Bunny's Roger Rabbit style, where there was like live action like that,
oh.
And it was 2D, and it was a comedy, and it was like supposed to get like A-plus reviews, like one of the best reviews they ever got, because it's basically Wile E. Coyote is suing Acme for their products that doesn't work. And it's like this lawyer drama.
Amazing.
Yeah, and if you look at the cast, it's all these top-level comedians, like
the best.
It's supposed to be super funny.
Oh my God.
And they just canceled that one too. So much so, like, there was like a lawsuit against Warner Brothers saying like the director's like, you can't just, you're just doing this, like, if it was a bad movie.
Yeah.
But, like, you let it, like, they were hoping, like, the reviews would be bad. So, like, they did a bunch of, like, test screens, and it was, like, A+. They're like, this is hilarious. One of the best Looney Tunes movies of all time. This is going to be great. And they just wanted the tax write-off.
We have to break in.
There we
get
go.
Get the movies.
Okay, well, we'll wrap it up. So, A+ from all of us. We all love Dune Part 2.
Yes.
I can't wait for Dune Part 3, whenever that's, like... I wish I did like Lord of the Rings, I get it every goddamn year, but I'll wait. You know, it's probably a couple, two more, three more years. But I'll wait on it.
If they do Dune Messiah similar to the book, you're going to see a lot of surprises.
There we
go. If you aren't familiar with the book, yeah.
So
not a very happy story in the next
one. It's fine. It gets happier when the children of Dune come around. It eventually gets there.
Yeah.
It gets there eventually. But yes, well, thank you for listening. If you like our show, please subscribe, rate, review, 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. We'll shout you out. You can follow the show at BetterIn3D on Instagram, 3DBetter on X. I still call it Twitter every time, but on X. We can search for podcasts, Peg and Paul, in the same place you're looking for this. We just put an episode out this week, so it's brand new. You can listen to me and Paul be weird. You can follow me, I'm Not That Maddie, on Snapchat, Instagram, and X. And I'm Matthew on Facebook. And if you want to follow... I'm on TikTok. I don't post anything, but I'm Garlic Bread Baron on TikTok if you want that. So,
great name.
I don't know if you guys want to put your, you don't have to, you don't want to.
I don't have anything.
Yeah, you don't have, yeah. But until next time, thanks for listening and bye.
Bye.